Now, on this Invest Talk podcast, Steve Peasley listens to your questions.
I'm hoping you can explain the hit on metals of mining.
Quick question on ticker symbol AG, First Majestic.
My wife has a rollover 401k from a previous employer. I was curious if this is eligible to be used to do a backdoor Roth.
And provides unbiased answers.
Well, that's pretty easy. Open up a Roth account, start moving the assets over there. Just know that every asset that you move over to the Roth is added to your income.
Invest Talk, across America and around the world. Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART. This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Friday, February 18th, 2022, and I appreciate you being with me. I'm Steve Peasley, and I'm always glad to be here. Every time I do the show, I kind of enjoy it. I love listening to the questions and talking about them, and, you know, this is what I like to do. So appreciate you being with me. I really do. I will always give you unbiased answers, that's for sure, and I will try my best to be as forthright as possible, okay, with all the facts and information at my fingertips. Now, sometimes I don't have all information, and when I look at things quickly, I can't get too in-depth in the particular stock if you're asking about it, but I can give you accurate information. Well, it should be obvious by now that, you know, in life, you know, we all have to worry about our finances, right? And we all have to worry about our financial future and plan for the long term. Many of us do not do that, but we have to. You have to. When you get 50, 55 years old and then you decide to get serious about it, you are really behind the eight ball there, you know, and it's hard to save a lot of money very quickly and invest it and make it worthwhile. The earlier you start, the easier it is, really easy. In your 20s, it's easy to get up $1 million, $2 million, $3 million by the time you're 65. Pretty darn easy. But as you get older, it gets more difficult. And of course, now, you know, everything goes in cycles. So now we're in a pretty volatile type of cycle in the market. We're in a time where the interest rates are going to be rising, where the Federal Reserve says they're going to raise rates. And, you know, inflation is getting out of control. We haven't seen that in a long time. And things are different. Things are changed. You can't, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, you can't invest with the same mindset. You got to change. And a lot of people are not going to change, and they're going to get hurt. This show is to help you with that. Help you with that change. But of course, a lot of you want answers to specific questions or specific situations. We'll do that too. So give me a call. I'm ready to talk to you now. This is Invest Talk. We're open every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time. We're live. Okay? And of course, we always start with our same mission statement, and that is independent thinking and shared success, meaning we'll give you accurate information. We'll share everything we have with you. So I'm waiting, wanting, and willing to take your calls. Our number is the same. It always is the same, whether it's live, 4 to 5 Pacific time, or you can call anytime after hours and still leave a question. And the number is 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So let's get right to the first listener line question.
Hey, Justin and Steve, Jared in North Carolina. Listen to the show all the time. I wanted to get your thoughts on energy transfer. The ticker symbol is ET. Still an energy play. Seems like it's priced, you know, pretty fair at these values. Just wanted to get your thoughts on a good entry point. Thank you. Love the show.
Great. Appreciate it. Energy engaged in, this is ET, energy transfer, engaged in natural gas midstream liquid transportation and storage in the United States. So they pay, these kind of companies pay a very nice dividend. That's usually what their forte is, the dividend. It is a limited partnership, so you might get a 1099. You want to check into that, or a K-1. You want to check into that very closely because and understand what you're going to be involved there. They're going to make $1.21 this year. per share. Next year, $1.32. Okay. And it's a $10.05 stock. So it's, you know, well under 10 PE. I mean, probably like an 8 PE or so, 7, 8. Let's see. Sales are really good. It's a $27 billion company. They do almost, well, the most recent quarter, they did $18 billion in sales. So it's a pretty strong company. They do have a lot of debt. I would probably look into that to see what kind of debt, what's debt for? What happened? Why do you have so much debt? Management owns 13% of a company, of a $27 billion company. That's pretty strong management ownership. And mutual funds are net buyers. So now, where's a good place to buy? Is it a good place to buy now? Well, I think you might be a little late. Looks like it's going to hit resistance right around $10.50 up to $11. So it's going to have a hard time getting through that. So I would probably wait for a pullback. I mean, back in December, they were $8 a share. Okay, now it's 10. But you basically buy this for the dividend, really what you want to buy. Good luck with it. I hope it works for you. My focus point today is based on a story behind this perspective, 5 surefire signs of a stock market bubble. Stock market bubbles are very difficult to recognize. Why you're in it is difficult. Is a market a bubble, or do we have any bubble-ish things going on in our market right now? There will be no trivia question today because it's Friday, and as you know, I usually give highlights of the KPP Premium newsletter on Fridays. That'll come up about halfway through the program. Other topics I want to talk about. I still want to talk about inflation because I still think we want to talk about it. And I want to talk about it a little bit different, not just the numbers out there, but what happens in other inflationary periods we've dealt with. Existing home sales jumped today, as they reported today anyways, for January. And where will rates go, interest rates? You know, we know that they're rising. You know, the 30-year mortgage is near 4% now. That's been a long time since we've seen that. But where will they go? Well, we'll explore that a little bit. Those are things I'd like to talk about, but of course, you come first. You, not me, you. What do you guys want to talk about? The market was down again today. I think, 5 days it was down. Dow was down 233, NASDAQ down 169, and S&P down 31. So not a very good day again. Now, it's not tremendously bad. It's just not. You know, when will this weakness go away? And I think you need to prepare yourself mentally for a pretty choppy year. The whole year is not going to be, you know, what we've seen in the previous years. I just don't think it is. Okay, Justin and I are grateful for your podcast support, and our free downloads will continue. I want to make you aware of 2 other ways you can find our material, unbiased guidance here. InvestTalk has a YouTube channel and an Instagram following. We're building out more content on both platforms. So go to the YouTube or Instagram and search InvestTalk. Remember, 2 T's, InvestTalk. Just please tell your friends about us. The InvestTalk phone lines are open, 888-99-CHART.
The market is constantly changing, and you've got to be ready to react. You'll have questions. Steve and Justin have answers. The InvestTalk Anytime listener line never closes. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Craig, who is in Seattle. Hi, Craig.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, absolutely. You and I have actually emailed back and forth a couple of times.
Cool.
My portfolio is pretty heavily weighted toward value. My primary holdings are small cap value, have been for years. And then all of my large cap value exposure is in BTV. And I'm looking to expand that and diversify beyond that. And I'm looking at RPV, SPYV and VONV and also VYM. And I'm really just wondering, what are the primary things I should be looking at considering all of my weighting is in BTV right now? Should I be looking more at diversification outside of what BTV has? Because like VONV has 98% of what BTV already has is in VONV. But what are the highest weighted things I should be looking at in terms of making a decision on how to expand that exposure without just putting more in BTV?
Okay, good question. VTV is Vanguard Value, everybody. And all those, I think, Craig, are Vanguard funds you were listing, were they not?
No, RPV is Invesco, the S&P 500 value. SPYV is Spider, and then VONV is their Vanguard. It's got like 900 equities in it, I think, and BTV only has about 400. So,
So everybody, the reason why I said that, because I know Vanguard's ETFs, mutual funds, always start with a V. A V is in Victor, and so that's I thought they were that. My mistake. ETF, this one they have, VTV, Vanguard Value ETF, seeks to track the performance of the U.S. Large Cap Value Index, which measures the investment return. So you're into large cap value on this one. What I might suggest is two areas that you could concentrate on, and that would be dividends, and they would probably, you'll probably have a number of overlapping with this one, because usually the big companies are the ones who pay dividends. But I'm telling you, I'm thinking you need to focus on getting that dividend, and that would be a safer part of the market. And do you have any commodity exposure in any of your ETFs? Do you know?
No, I might. I've got quite a bit of VTI, and I've got quite a bit of VT as well. So,
VTI is a total stock market and total world. Yeah. So I would think that there is some commodity ETFs out there. I would definitely have some exposure to that. That will give you a much different part of the market, which I still think will work going forward. I really do. Greg, good luck with it. Hope it works for you. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. My focus point today is based on the story behind the perspective of five sure buyer signs of stock market bubble. So five signs of a stock market bubble. Excuse me. A bubble is very difficult to recognize when you're in it. Most people don't. Most experts don't. And we'll go over that, why that happens, because it's pretty common. But how do you recognize a bubble? And if you keep your eyes open, you can see signs of it, but you just never know. Bubbles can go very, very long before they pop. You know, so it's hard to try to time anything to do with the market. It's very difficult. But that's what we're going to talk about. That's the biggest thing I want to talk about before the end of the show. Oh, do we have time? Okay, let's take a quick look at it right this minute. Okay, we know what a bubble is. A bubble is a speculative frenzy in stock prices, or any speculative frenzy. It could be in real estate, which we had in 2006, 2007, and popped in 2008. It could be in stock prices. It could be in any kind of thing. What you recognize in the stock market is the value, the fundamental value, is totally out of whack with the price. The price is so far away from what the value of that company is fundamentally. That's when you know you're probably starting to deal with a bubble. That's not the first sign, though. Number one is a story. The story has captured everybody's imagination. And I can think of three of them on the top of my head. The first one I remember being was when biotech came aboard, and they're going to have the cure for cancer. And there was tons of biotech companies that say they're all working on cure for cancer, and they'll have it shortly. Still don't have it, right? And all those biotech companies, tons of them went out of business. A story that captures everybody's imagination. .com, okay, is another one. Okay, the story is on everybody's mind. Okay, we only have a minute. I want to pick this up after the break, so we got to take a break. I'm sorry, everybody. So we got to take this break. It is Friday. The podcast is loaded with content, but I will welcome your questions first. 888-99-CHART.
Your objective is to work hard, plan well, and achieve financial freedom, right? You're in luck because Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your finance and investment questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
So I want to finish up with a topic I had before, and that was, you know, recognizing a bubble. And the first thing is, what is a bubble? And we talked about that. That's just where something is super inflated above its basic value. But usually a bubble in a stock will start with stories. Some kind of story was pushing a stock or a sector or something going on. And as I said, I remember, of course, they had the dot-com and they had the housing bubble, remember, in 2008. And usually the prices are the second one, prices rise regardless of the news. Even the news is not good. Everybody's got this in their head, and they just keep running the price, and they can have bad news. It still doesn't affect the stock or the house price or the whatever's in the bubble. Other assets, prices also soar at the same time. So do you see any of those three things happening? And fourth, this is my favorite, new traders, the people that are in new, say that old investors like me, we don't get it. I heard this personally in 2006, 2007, I can't remember the year, about housing. And I was saying here, house prices were just unreasonable at this point. They were just not reasonable at all. And I got lots of feedback from people saying, I'm old-fashioned. I didn't know what I was talking about. And, you know, that's a sure sign of a bubble to me. I've seen that twice. In 1999, I had a high school graduate nephew who said he's going to make money by being a day trader. He's not going to find a job, not going to go to college. He's just going to day trade stocks. I knew the bubble was in then because he was dumb as a rock. I love him, but he's still dumb as a rock. So those are the kind of signs that you're looking at. Okay, so that's what you want to be. You're trying to look for a bubble. But it's hard to do anything about it necessarily, even if you recognize it, because the bubbles can go for a long, long time. They really can. Okay, on Friday, I generally take time to do a quick rundown of the key benchmark numbers. The two-year Treasury yield at 1.44%, and a week ago it was 1.5, so it went down. 8 weeks ago, it was 0.64, so it's more than doubled from 2 months ago. 10-year Treasury, 1.91. Last week it was 1.91. 2 weeks ago it was 1.91. 4 weeks ago it was 1.72. So you're having the spread still shrinking, looks like. Gold price, 1896. Last week it was 1858. 2 weeks ago it was 1806. So gold is moving up. Silver today was 2397. Week ago is 2357, but it's also still moving up. Oil, $91 a barrel, $91.60. Last week it was $93.88. Most people are saying it's going to go to break 100. It's going to break 100. Some people think it's going to go to 2. I don't think so, but you don't know. No one knows. The national average for a gallon of gasoline, $3.52. It was $3.48 last week. And here in California, 472. Okay, up a couple pennies from last week. Hawaii today, gas was 450 per gallon. So, okay, let's fit in another question caller, this time from Hawaii.
Hi there, this is Bob from Oahu. And I'm wondering if Russia is imminent to invade Ukraine, would it not be a smart move to do an inverse ETF? And perhaps do a play on PSQ, Papa Sam Quebec, or SH, Sam Hotel, something that would give you a rather quick profit. You would watch and control very closely, but to play the times. Just your thoughts. Thank you so much.
Those two are shorts. Their ETFs are short the market. The PSQ is shorts the QQQs, okay? And the other one is shorting the S&P 500. So if you feel that the market's going to collapse because of invasion by Russia into Ukraine, that would be a play. But if you take a look at the chart of these things, they're long-term going down. So you can only use it as a trade, not as an investment. That would be my suggestion. And it'd be very difficult to time it, but if Russia invades Ukraine, I guarantee you the stock market won't like it. I don't necessarily think it would collapse. I don't think it will do that. But for at least a day or two, the market will not like it. And it really will depend on what we're threatening to do as retaliation here in the United States. Frankly, I think Ukraine has a failed government anyways. Vastly corrupt, and so is Russia, by the way. So I just don't know what we would do. Maybe we should let Europe handle Ukraine problem. I don't know. But I don't think it's going to be a long-lasting effect on our market. The podcast is moving pretty fast, everybody. I will share the highlights from the KPP Premium Newsletter in a few minutes. But I'm taking your calls now, 888-99-CHART.
Do you recognize this sound? It's a sound that can mean profits in your pocket. It's the sound of another smooth Shopify transaction. And now you ask, what is Shopify? Quite simply, Shopify is the all-in-one commerce platform that you can use to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs the resources once exclusively reserved for big business. Shopify provides a great-looking online store that brings your ideas to life with easy access to the tools to manage your day-to-day operations and drive sales. Know this, Shopify powers millions of entrepreneurs from first sale to full scale. That's more than a catchy phrase. It's reality. With Shopify, you can get started by building and customizing your online store without the need for coding or design experience. Shopify has thousands of integrations and third-party apps, from on-demand printing to accounting to advanced chatbots and beyond. Shopify instantly lets you accept all major payment methods. Plus, with 24/7 support, you're never alone. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. Ready to take your dream to the next level? Go to shopify.com/invest, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/invest right now. shopify.com/invest.
You are listening to Invest Talk. It's Friday. The weekend is almost here. And Steve Peasley is on duty now, taking your finance and investment questions live. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve or Justin. This is Joe in Greenville, South Carolina. Just wondering about indexing, well, really ETFing. And I'm wondering if a good strategy would be to pick, for example, like the Vanguard. You have large cap growth, large cap value, mid cap growth, mid cap value, small cap growth, small cap value. And just investing in these and, you know, every month, every year, kind of just putting money into any of them that are down 10%, 20%, and just holding everything for the long term. Do you see any flaws in this strategy? And if so, what are they? And what suggestions would you have for somebody that has about a 30 or 40 year investment horizon? I will be listening for your answer on the podcast. Thanks so much. Love the show, guys. Bye.
No, I don't see any flaws in that at all. Okay, I don't. I think it's a good way to invest into the market on a consistent basis. Now, these are the things I warn you against. Do not try to time the market. Just continually put money in a dollar cost averaging basis. Whenever every paycheck, just put more money in, or however you're going to do it. Don't try to guess the top or the bottom. Don't. Just put money in one way, not two ways. Don't ever take it out. Don't readjust. Just put money in. So, and when the market does crash, because it will crash, continually to put money in. Matter of fact, when it does crash, put more money in, not less, not less. And that will scare you, but that's the right thing to do. People freak out at the market right at the bottom. They get out. Then they get back in right at the top or three quarters of the way up at the top, you know, and they don't understand why they're not making any money. So don't do that. Don't try to time it. But no, I think the premise is a good one. It is a very good one. Okay, the KPP Premium Newsletter was finished today, and it will be distributed tomorrow morning. The first section, the market conditions section, I explained that we received a full week of economic numbers. There's lots of them. Many were good, some very good, but markets continued their downward fall. With COVID fears fading fast, other potential problems, Russia, inflation, kind of reared their ugly heads. So we're fighting that. We're fighting that issue. Remember the Fed, the Fed in the background is going to raise rates. We know that. That's the market that has that as a very big headwind. So at the beginning of the week, the producer price index came out. It was up 1%. That's double the expectation. If that was did that every month, that would be 12% inflation rate, right? But in essentially, our inflation rate is more like 7. Remember, the producer price index is inflation at the producer level. Can they pass it on to us, the consumers? That, and generally speaking, probably yes at this point because we're expecting the inflation to go up, so it's easier for them to pass along to us. So that's the way it is. That's how it works. Okay, let's see. The LEI, leading economic indicator, came out for January. It was it went down 0.3%. Now this is a reading of 10 different leading indicators, and it usually says, okay, here's the number. If it's below zero, which this one is, minus 0.3%. If it's below zero, that the economy is going to falter 3 or 4 months from now. Okay, now the month before it was up, 0.8%. So is 1 month the one signal to turn around? Probably not. You need to see maybe 3 months in a row where it's getting weaker. So we have 1 month, and that's in. It's in the books. So we'll see if we have the same thing happen next month. Let's see, what else? Portfolio management. I mentioned last week's newsletter drove home the importance of an investor's need to understand risk tolerance or market volatilities, you know, because the stock can be very volatile, the market can be very volatile. So this week I talked about the standard deviation. I talked about, you know, how that is computed and how do you use it? You know, so it was more of trying to get you a little bit more in-depth on how to manage a portfolio of stocks and how to analyze a stock, okay? Let's see, stock ideas. A company is one of the oldest biotech firms, has grown to become a mega cap company. It has consistently increased earnings for many years. I really like it, okay? 4P is 11, pays a 3.5% dividend. Also, another company, it's always, the other company I listed is always overpriced. It always has been, and it's very difficult to get into it, but it's a good company to own, to be part of your portfolio. It's also a big mega cap. Return on equity is 55%. I like them in the teens. So this one's 55%. Here is low debt, pays a small dividend. Two good names, I think, in the newsletter. Okay, finally, consumer watch. Purchasing a car in today's market, it's very expensive. The average amount paid for a new car has risen to $45,717, which is $728 more than the average manufacturer's suggested retail price. More, not less, more than the MSRP, okay, which is $44,989. The data comes from Edwin's research, and it's based on transactions in January of 2022. A year ago, the average amount paid was $2,152 below MSRP. Now it's $728 above. So, kind of interesting, I think. Depressing, actually. Especially for you people who are buying into, trying to get into a new car. But you know what? Buying a used car is just as expensive, or more. In fact, it might be, relatively speaking, more expensive. Anyways, let's keep moving. Let's go back to InvestTalk Voice Bank. 888-99-CHART.
Yes, I was wondering about Mobile Telecom, Mary, Baker, Tom. I know it's a Russian company, and you probably wouldn't have anything to do with it, but notice that it's starting to act better, and was wondering if you guys would even consider it. Not for the dividend, just for the value. Thank you.
Okay, Mobile Telesis, headquarters in Russia, a Russian provider of digital wireless voice data services to 80 million subscribers in Russia and Ukraine. Okay, it's going to make 95 cents, or it did make 95 cents last year. It's going to make $1.05 share this year. It's a $7.17 stock. So it's very reasonably priced. But the five-year P.E. range for this company is 6 to 11. So, you know, it's always been low price. Return equity is very high. It's super high, 176%. Cash flow is very strong at $3.60. Management owns 1%. So the question is, it's Russian. Do you want to be in a Russian stock? Well, you know, it's very reasonable price, but it's always been kind of low price. This stock has never been above $9 a share. Never been above $9. That was a high in 2000. We'll take that back. Back in 2014, it got up to $14 a share. Since then, it got up to $9 a share in 2018, 2019, and 2020. Okay, so, it's not for me. I don't want it because there's too much politics involved in owning this company. Too much politics. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4270. Inflation. We're really at about 7.5% current inflation. From 1973 to 1982, inflation averaged 8.8%. Okay, and it peaked in 1980 at 13.5%. 13.5%. Remember, it's 7.5 now. During that time, we also had two recessions and we had stagflation. So the stock market still survived. I just want to put it in perspective. Even though we have 0% interest at the Fed's fund rate, if it goes to 1%, is that going to really destroy the economy? No. Okay, inflation. If inflation has peaked now, if it starts to slow down from this peak, is it going to destroy the economy? No. You know what will destroy the economy? If the Fed gets too aggressive in raising rates. What's too aggressive? Well, I've read recently that people, or experts, quote-unquote experts, say they might raise a rate 7 or 8 times at a quarter point each. Well, 8 times will give you up to 2%. I don't think that's in this year. I think they'll stick with what they said they were going to do. And that was 3 to 4 times. So we might get up to 1% this year. If inflation continues to increase, if it does, they may get more aggressive. And if they get more aggressive, that will affect the stock market. But right now, the stock market has built into its prices that 3 or 4 increases in the Fed funds rate. I don't think that is a problem. They're watching inflation numbers closely to see if it's more than what the Fed expected and that they might do something about it. That's what they're looking for. Okay, let's go to Edward in San Diego. Hi, Edward.
Yes, hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. You want to talk about Intel?
I was looking into Intel, and I was wondering, what's your opinion? Do you think at this price is going to be a value play?
I would say yes. Okay. Let me explain why. I do not think it's a deep value play, but I do think it has good value. They're going to make $3.65 next year. And it's a $45 stock. Okay. What's that? 13 PE. Okay. So is that too expensive? Well, the five-year range is 8 to 15, so it's kind of on the upper end, but that's a pretty low PE. 15 has been its five-year high. I think that's pretty low for a company that has a return on equity of 25%, a cash flow of $8.39, and there's a chip shortage out there. So I think the long-term year, 2 years, 3 years outlook for chip companies is pretty strong. So I think, and then meanwhile, while you're waiting, they pay 3.2% dividend, and they don't have much debt. So I think it's a pretty good value bet, but it's not an extreme value, but it is a pretty good value bet. Man, if this thing went down to the low 30s, it would be a screaming value play. So just don't be in a hurry, Hagrid. Just take your time. Keep watching it. It's still going down. Just wait till it calms down. Thank you for the call. It's Intel, INTC, everybody. Okay, so how do we implement our strategies here at KPP? You know, we have a philosophy. We have a philosophy that we implement. And our philosophy is we want to be on the same side of the table, the investment table, as our clients. You know, if the client is buying XYZ stock, we personally want to own XYZ stock at the same time, same price. And we call that parallel investing because we think it's only fair. Why would I tell somebody to buy something, or why would I buy something for them that I wouldn't want to buy for myself? To me, that just doesn't make sense. You, because I'm looking for value, I'm expecting growth. If I am so unsure of a position that I'm putting in clients' portfolio, I shouldn't be putting them in the portfolio. So I need to be sure. So to be sure, if I'm sure, I want to own it. Makes sense to me. So we call that parallel investing. We do that here. You know, we give you unbiased guidance. We will help you no matter what. If you want us to take a look at your portfolio, we will give you our recommendations and see if, you know, how risky it is. And we'll tell you, we'll have a nice conversation. We do not try to talk people into becoming a client. You don't have to worry about that. We will help you no matter if you become a client or not. It does not really matter. At this stage in my life, it does not really matter. Of course, I want you as clients. We want you as clients, but I don't want you to feel pressure. I don't want anybody to ever feel pressure to become a client. Okay, Justin and I have said many times, we appreciate our diverse audience. And in fact, we receive caller questions from across America and around the world. So let's take a question now, this time from a listener in Saudi Arabia.
Hello, Justin and Steve. Thank you for this great program, listening every day. This is Abdul from Saudi Arabia. I have a small position in Idenomics. The ticker symbol is IDEX. I have a loss and confused what should I do. Should I accept the loss and go out or wait? And the second company, Salesforce, I know it's a good company, but I'm wondering what's a good point, a good entry on this stock. Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay. This is Idea, not Economics. Ideanomics operates as an artificial intelligent and blockchain powered fintech company. Doesn't make money, has never made money, for years now has not made money. Sales growth is increasing very nicely, okay, but it's a $492 million company that doesn't make money, and the stock is collapsing down to 99 cents. I would not own this company. You know, I, from what I see here, it just doesn't make any sense to own this company. Mutual funds are buying it, though. Management owns 3%. So you could just hold on and put it away in a drawer and forget about it if you didn't expose too much money to it. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and we have one goal here, to help you achieve financial freedom. And, of course, our work will continue right after this break. So get your questions in now. 888-99-CHART.
You are listening to Invest Talk. We've seen the markets go up, then down, sideways, and around. It's called volatility. And if you're a serious investor, you'll have finance and investment questions for Steve Peasley. He's here now taking your calls live. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve and Justin. I have a question about mandatory reorganization and mandatory cash merger. I owned Vedanta Limited, and I believe that they were delisted and they haven't shown on my Ameritrade account for a little while now. And I had planned to call Ameritrade and figure out what my options were. And then just the other day, I had a fee for a mandatory reorganization fee. And then I got money into my account because it said mandatory cash merger. I'm not entirely sure what that is. I've tried to Google that and Vedanta News and haven't found anything online. So I wondered if you might be able to shed some light on it. Thank you.
Okay, when you become delisted, what she's referring to there is it no longer is traded on a exchange. The company, either New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ Exchange, delisted, meaning kicked them off their exchange. It doesn't mean that there's not a value of the stock or it's not still trading, but it would be trading on what we call the pink sheets or over the counter. To get those quotes, you got to make a phone call and talk to somebody at your custodian and to find out what's the current bid and ask price, you know, to tell you what the price is. Usually that's what happens when it's delisted. Why do they delist it? Delist a company? Because they don't meet the minimum requirements to be listed on that exchange. One of those real requirements is a certain price of the stock. Another is a certain financial criteria that they've established, you know, getting general accounting principles criteria. So it was delisted. Then she got notification from them that they were reorganized, and all that, and some money came into her account. I cannot tell you what that happened. I cannot tell you what happened there, because I'd have to know what the deal was. I mean, why are they reorganized? Who's making them do the reorganization? Because the stock exchange, the New York or the NASDAQ, wouldn't do that. Did they file for bankruptcy? It kind of sounds like they did file for bankruptcy to me. And that maybe the court ordered the reorganization and disbursement of cash to you, so, or to the shareholders. So it's difficult to know without knowing the specifics. I can't answer the question. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's our number. Existing home sales jumped by 6.7% in January. Okay, 6.5 million, the highest amount number in 12 months. Okay, why? Buyers assume the buyers got nervous that interest rates are rising. 30-year mortgages are up near 4% now. Haven't seen that in a long time. So that probably is a main driver of sales of existing homes. People wanting to buy and get in as fast as possible. Okay, so I don't think this is a number that we can say, oh, good, the housing market is getting stronger. I don't know if this is going to last. We'll see in the next month or two, but I just don't think so, because what's driving it is a short-term thing. I mean, I'm more concerned, what happens if mortgage rates are 5% or 6%? Mind you, that's normal. Those are even below normal mortgage rates, 5%, 6%. That's normal. That's below normal. We've just been at an extreme low that everybody's gotten used to thinking that that's the normal. The younger people think that's normal, 2, 3%. Ew. Back in the 1980, I paid 12.25% 30-year fixed. That was during that huge inflationary period between 73 and 82. So the market's, tr- the The Fed is trying to unwind itself from the extreme interference it has been partaking in the economy over the last number of years. They're trying to unwind that as slow as possible, not to affect the economy too much. That's what they're trying to do. I'm Steve Pease, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. Okay, we are closing in on 39 million downloads. Get yours anytime at iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and please be sure to review us if you listen to us on iTunes. Your positive rating helps our profile. We love that. So thank you very much. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.